last week we started a two-part sermon series over the church. And last week we talked a little bit about the church as a noun. And then we want to shift a little bit more into the church as a verb. Let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we ask you to be with us, Lord, in this time. May your words be the words we hear this morning. May your words be the words we live out. In your son's name we pray. Amen. So going into this, we want to start out by looking at what is the church and how does the church operate? How does the church function? And so last week we talked a little bit about the people. The people make the church. The church actually in its wording is the assembled ones, the assembly, and then they get sent out, all right? So that's the concept of the church from the original language. And so taking a look here this morning, we're going to be taking a look at what it means for Paul to describe the church here. So from Ephesians chapter 2, let's read this verse, verse 10 together. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So we believe, as Lutherans, that we are not saved by our works, which means we are only saved by what Jesus Christ has done and him alone. And so that faith, that saving faith is in him. And so when we take a look, okay, what does that mean? What's that mean is that when you go through your steps each day and God places things in your path, places opportunities. And so when God places opportunities, sometimes you stumble in and you go into different kinds of situations. And sometimes you're really in tune with what's going on. Sometimes you look at a situation like, that's not me whatsoever. And so we take a look at as Lutherans, that God is placing some things in your life in which I'm placing that in your life because I want you to live out your faith in that situation. And so when Paul's writing, he is saying that God has given us opportunities in order to live out our faith, all right? And that's not something that we live out our faith and we take a step back and say, wow, I must have earned my way to heaven. No, that's not it. That's not it. It's God saying, God wants you to live out your faith, all right? And so living out your faith, living out those opportunities is opportunity for us to share Christ with others. And so when we take a look at what's on the wall, go disciple all nations, that's part of what God is saying to us in this verse. And so I wanted to capture that because if you know anything about me, I'm a video guy. If you spend any time around me, I'll quote movies like crazy, all right? And so I took a look and said, okay, there's a movie that's strung together, and in total, it's about 11 to 12 hours long, and I just wanted to give you a clip of that 11 or 12 hours. We can watch the whole 12 hours if you want. But I doubt it. So I just wanted to give you a clip. This is the preeminent. This is to me the church in a nutshell.
Then let us be rid of it. Once and for all. Come on, Mr. Frodo. I can't carry it for you. But I can carry you. Come on!
Throughout this sequence, there is this ring, and not that my wedding ring is the ring of power. Don't get that. Don't, you know, my wife's in second service. Don't tell her about it, okay? So we have the ring of power, and there's only one person who can wield it because everyone else, when it comes into contact with them, they look at it and say, okay, this is the ring of power. I want what comes with this. I want the power, and only one person can wield it. And so interesting enough is the writer of this, J.L. Tolkien, is trying to put in who and what Jesus does kind of thing into a story in which it's relatable, and you never even knew you were hearing the gospel as you watch this entire movie. So interesting enough is that during this, the last part of this series in which the evil is right at that mountain, and they have to take the ring of power and basically restore everything to where it was and restore the ring to where it was forged. And so only he can touch it, and therefore his best friend knows that he cannot take the ring itself, because he would be tempted to use its power. And so interesting enough is his best friend said, okay, I can't touch it, but I can pick you up and take you to the place in which you can fulfill that. And so interesting enough is that this is the church. This is a church as a verb. And so whatever we take a look at this and say, okay, what does this have for us today, is this is what the church is for. Because there are burdens in which there'll be some things that are too difficult for others to go through alone. Last week, we saw the clip where Sam Wise, he was going to go all the way to the end with his best friend. And here, he's at the end with his best friend. Not that this is the end. I mean, I don't think Jesus is coming back today. I don't think so. But we are definitely living in end times. We are definitely living in end times. And so what we're going to take a look at, what is the church? The church is one person helping the other person because they can have the strength and have the ability to carry them through their situations. And so when we take a look at Hebrews, last week we took a look at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, about how we should continually meet together. This is the verse before that. Let's read this together from Hebrews 10, chapter 24. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. So my job, part of my job, is to put before you that God has put opportunities for this congregation to glorify him in what we do as an assembly and as the ones sent out. And so we want to take a look at this morning. And I said, okay, what ways can I remind you of how we can stir each other on to do what the work of the church does? And so I took a look at some things, and then I noticed something. There's a culture outside a church, and there's a culture inside the church. And when I took a look at that, I noticed something. The culture of the world is somewhat changing and shifting. And I took a look at this, and there are some videos out there in which it's like, what's going on with this? And so from halfway around the world, you are not going to understand a single word of this, but I need you to read the captions.
การมากที่สุดไทยประกันชีวิตเชื่อในความดี
All right, this is from Thailand. And Thailand, an insurance company, made a video in which a man goes throughout his daily life, and he first encounters problems in his life, and then he takes a look at every single one and said, what can I do in this situation in order to make it better? Okay, this is not a Christian commercial. Yet I take a step back and take a look at the broad scope and things. An insurance company, okay? I can't, anybody insurance in here? I gotta be careful, I know. An insurance company is saying the things that the church is saying. And I begin to wonder why. And I said, okay, is that the only thing? And so last year, I'm watching TV, and guess what comes on TV?
You can lift the weight of caring by doing. Visit statefarmsneighborhoodofgood.com to volunteer in your community.
State Farm is promoting the words of the scriptures, of the Bible. They're saying, volunteer in your community. And so they're now a hub. They're now a hub. They have their own dedicated place in their website and a dedicated person in the insurance building for reaching out to the community. And I began to, oh, that's amazing. That's great. We're getting on board. On the other hand, do you know the second thing that came into my mind? Do you know the second thing that came into my mind? Two insurance companies promoting getting out into the community. It sounds awful like something else, I know. Because if an insurance company is doing a better job at promoting that than the church, then what business are we in which the culture outside the church is more aligned biblically than the church, than the culture inside the church? Then we got a small problem. We got a small problem. And so I had to take a look and say, okay, what is it that we need to get back to? And so from Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, if you would read this with me. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. So what we do as a church points directly to the person giving us the strength to go through that situation with someone else. It's seeing the opportunity in that person's life or a family member, a coworker, someone else in the church, maybe someone you're sitting very close to that you need to take, oh, I don't think I can do it, but to take you and just put you over. If you were a little bit smaller, I probably could do that right now, all right? But to take him over my shoulder and to carry him through the situation. And sometimes you don't need the physical carrying. Sometimes you need the mental, the spiritual carrying to get you through that situation. And so as a church body, we look and say, okay, where are we in our community and how can we spur each other on in order that what we do does not bring light to who we are, but who we serve. And who Christ is. And when people find out, man, you're from the church down the road? Man, what a great thing God must be doing in that community. And so we take a look at this. And last month, we invited a few hundred people onto our campus. And we fed them. And we gave them a bunch of sugar. Little enticement. But they were here on our campus talking with a bunch of people that as they came on campus, where are you from? People were coming from towns over to come and get sugar here. And as they came for sugar, I was talking to them about what else is going on in their life. That was an opportunity for us. They were coming here on our back parking lot. And so interesting enough is this week, guess what we get to do, church? They're coming into our building. They're coming into our building. And we get to invite them to come and sit at a table. And sometimes it's not with someone you know. But isn't that what makes Thanksgiving Thanksgiving? Is that picture you saw growing up of people not dressed like each other. And they're sitting around eating food that some of them think are weird. And no, it's traditional. It's one of the things that when you get into your mind, the spirit of Thanksgiving is just that. And this year, more than any that I've ever been in, we have more people signed up, less blank spaces before Thanksgiving than we've had in a long time. You notice that? You notice that? We're signing up beforehand. We're committing. Can you imagine that, guys? We are committing. And we're going to say, yes, we are going to invite the community here. And another picture here. This is something we do, block party, every year. Once again, inviting the community onto our campus. Inviting them to eat with us, to dine with us, to have a little fun. Folks, God is blessing this opportunity. Next year, God is blessing it even more, and we're not even there yet. God is already blessing us. The question is, how can we take what we do and bless others? Those in these pews and the people who have not yet begun to assemble in the pews. So I take a look at what is it that we can take a look at this morning? Well, let's go back to Scripture. Let's go back to Scripture. And one of the most important things in my life is the red letters. What are the red letters in Scripture? Jesus' own words from Luke chapter 24, gospel reading for this morning. Let's read this together. It's in two parts. And he said to them, thus that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. Did you hear your name in here? Did you hear your name this morning? Did you hear your situation? Jesus himself, red letters, Jesus himself said that repentance would be proclaimed entire world, beginning from Jerusalem. We're halfway around the world. And you're here hopefully this morning because you believe that in this place we are preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, meaning that our entire salvation is what he did on that cross. And everything is wrapped up in who he is. Because by his blood, we are healed from all of our sicknesses, our pain. And so we here are saying, okay, our name is the one, we know that repentance, we know that forgiveness of sins, and we want to continue to spread that to others. And as a congregation, that is why we're here. That is why we're here, because together we can do what Christ asked for us in this scripture verse together. And so this last, there's another video, and when I found it this week, I said, I cannot wait any longer to show this video. You know, when we talked a little bit about as we gather together and we strengthen each other, and we proclaim in words and song, and I found a video in which he expressed that. What happens when people lift their voices together and that voice is amplified? Take a look at this, and we're going to have to kind of do a little, this is what I would say. I lost my breath. One word over and over again. You see and hear this. They didn't practice this. They came together. 600 people. And when you hear this from the internet, you hear all the different harmonies coming together. And so I said, this is on this side of heaven. This is something amazing that's going on, in which a group of people come together and they raise their voices and they sing out an amazing truth that is amazing grace that I am saved by. And so I said, okay, this is the embodiment of the church. Singing together of the praises of God and what he has done for us, and asking God to go with us in our lives together. And so, interesting enough, is I want us to do that here this morning, to look for opportunities in which the church is the church. And so as you go out from here, let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, on this morning, Lord God, we are called by your name and your name alone. This is your church. Lord God, you can grow it or you can shut it down as you please. This is yours. Lord God, even as these doors are open, Lord God, may our hearts be open to what you have for us here as a group of people. That, Lord God, even as you have brought us together, Lord God, see the amazing things, Lord, that you are enabling us to do. Lord God, this week we are thankful for a building that we can meet in. We're thankful for a building in which we are allowed to preach in your name openly and not fearing what might happen to us next. Lord God, we thank you for that. Allow us this week to be thankful for the faith we are allowed to openly share and practice. Lord God, at this church, I pray for this church this morning. That, Lord God, you would give us the strength to go through every situation that we would encounter. Lord God, we ask you to be with us, Lord, as, Lord God, we carry each other, as we sing together. As a church, Lord, we go forward in your name to be bold in proclaiming that you're the one who forgives our sins and showers us with grace. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.